You have a lot of time to catch up. Today's shiur is Masechta Bava Basra, Daf Hey, and we will begin on Daf Hey Amud Aleph at the top of the Amud. It says the Gemara, Runya Akvi Ravino Me'aba Ruchaysov. Runya had a field in the middle of Ravina's fields, the subject that we've been discussing since the Mishnah, and Ravina put up a fence that gave Runya the protection from all four sides. Amalei, so now Ravina says to Runya, Havli kama degadri, you should share in the expenses for this fence, lo yavli. And Runya refused to give. Even though, as Rashi points out, it will become clear in the Gemara that we pass in like the opinion of Rav Huna, that the halacha is that in such a circumstance, the person who ended up having a fence completely around his field does have the obligation to pay for half the expenses. Runya refused. So Ravina said to him, Havli lefi kana bezul. You don't want to spend the money on the amount I spent to make a good fence. At least give me, pay me, if I would have made an inexpensive fence. Give me half of that. Lo yavli. Still Runya refused. So he said, Havli agne terusoi. So Ravina says to Runya, give me at least the value, the cost of a watchman, which as the Gemara, as is clear from the previous year, the cost of a watchman was less than the cost of any fence. And Ravina is saying to Runya, that much benefit you're getting, that you're not, that you have this fence, it's certainly equal to a watchman, give me that value. La Yavle. Runya still didn't give. Says the Gemara, Yoy Machad have a Kagoda Dikri. One day, Runya was working on his date palms, on his palm trees in his field. Amle La Risi. So Ravina said to his worker, Zil Shkomine Kibur Dahini. Go take from him a handful of dates. Ozla Suye. And the worker was about to take them. Rama Bekola. And Runya raised his voice. What are you doing? What are you taking mine? Obviously, as the Gemara will say in a moment, what Ravina was trying to accomplish was to show that Runya really wanted this fence there, and therefore Runya should have to participate. So the Rishonim ask, we learned the Masechta Bava Kama, that the Torah teaches us leisignoif, we're not allowed to steal, and the Gemara says leisignoif amanas lemekat. You're not allowed to steal, even if your purpose of stealing is just to tease somebody. So how could Ravina have told his worker go steal, even if under these circumstances, you're never allowed to steal? So some explain, he didn't really mean that he should take anything. It should only look like he's about to take, not take anything. And therefore, that will be enough to show that Runya wants the fence there. It's one pshat I saw in the Rishonim. Another pshat in the Rishonim I saw, Ritva says this teretz, is that it's a chiddush. If somebody takes something from someone else, whose price, and the item that's taken, the price is well known. That means if somebody walks into a store and it looks like he's about to steal a bottle of milk, even though he doesn't actually steal, even though his intention is not to steal it, but his intention is to pay for it, since the price is well known and it's an item that's for sale, that's not called geneva. Another teretz that Ritva says, since the entire purpose here was to prove a point, that Runya really did benefit and was happy with this fence, that's not considered geneva, because it's to make a point, and therefore it's not considered geneva. Another question is that why did Ravina have to go through this entire process? Isn't it obvious that Runya is gaining from this fence because it prevents somebody from stealing his dates? Why do you have to go through an entire process? So I saw two different approaches in the Rishonim. One pshat in the Rishonim is, no, Ravina needed to see. Because perhaps Runya would have had the attitude, I'd rather he take the dates, because they're not that valuable, versus the expense of the fence. Only after Runya showed that he doesn't want one date to be taken even, do we know what Runya's feeling is. And Ravina has a right to claim, so now pay what you owe me. Another pshat the Rishonim say is that actually Ravina did not have to go through this whole process. Because it's obvious that Runya, no one is going to be satisfied and allow that his items be taken. The reason he went through this whole process, says the Papula Charifta, in explaining the opinion of the Rambam, is Lefnim Meshuras Hadin. Ravina could have actually said to Runya and Bezdin, "You're certainly benefiting from my fence. You have no right to get away with it for free." But he went through the process strictly to make a point that Runya, to show that Runya was benefiting. Amalei. So now Ravina says to Runya, "Gelis adaitich, the menich nichalach. You've obviously shown that you're very satisfied with this fence. Let's say if there would only be a problem of animals, goats, entering this field. Certainly you want a fence, even to protect from the animals not being able to enter. And therefore you should participate in the cost of the fence. Omle, so Runya responded, Iza ba'alma l'chuluya b'alya. What an animal... The animals only come to eat, says the Gemara. Amale v'loy gavra boyis the michlala. Yes, animals don't have the intelligence to steal, but they know to eat. So don't you need somebody to keep them away? So wouldn't you have to spend, at least, don't you need a fence to keep the animals away? Osla kamei de rova. And Runya is still not participating. So now they come to Rava for din Torah. Amale, and Rava paskins, Terunya, zil paisa b'may defaisa, go give him what he's willing to take. That means Ravina had been willing to take just the cost of a watchman, which is a minimal cost. Viloy, because if you won't pay that, dinaloch, I will paskin dinak Rav Huna, I'll leave it Rav Yossi. I'll paskin like Rav Huna said in the opinion of Rav Yossi, which we said in the beginning of our shiur today, would mean that you have to pay the actual half of the cost of defense. The Rama uses this Gemara to teach us a very interesting thing, lahaloch lamaisa. He says, let's say I have a claim against you, and I take you to the Torah, a monetary claim, and I take you to the Torah, and Bezdin sees, for example, that you have to pay, you owe me $1,000, that I owe you $1,000. But all you're asking me for is $500. So the Rama says that even though Bezdin knows that I really owe you $1,000, since all you're asking for is $500, that's all they have to obligate me to give. What's the raya? Al Gemara. Because Al Pidin, Rava said, Runya really has to pay for half of the cost of the fence. But since Ravina was only asking for the cost of a watchman, that's all Runya has to give. That's the Rama's opinion. Many Pais can disagree with Rama. They say it's specifically in this case where it was Ravina who knew the halacha is that Runya has to pay half of the cost of the fence. And Ravina, for whatever reason, decided to be nice, to be generous, and say to Runya, you know what? I'm not going to have to make you pay half the cost of the fence. I'll be satisfied with the cost of a watchman. That's why Bezdin says, give him the cost of the watchman. But let's say it was a case where the person who has a claim against me isn't aware of all of his rights, and Bezdin knows that he has rights to ask for more than he's asking for, Bezdin is obligated to let him know, don't ask only for $500, you have a right to claim $1,000. If he chooses to be Michael, great. But if he doesn't want to be Michael, I'm going to have to pay what I owe. Says the Gemara, another Gemara, Rum Yezovin Ara Mitzvah Dravina. Just a word of introduction. The Gemara we learned Masecht Bava Metzia. There's halacha bar mitzvah. Bar mitzvah means that if there's a piece of property off for sale, a person who's a bar mitzvah, a person who's a neighbor, has right of first refusal. So says the Gemara, Runya bought a piece of property that Ravina was the neighbor to. Sava Ravina l'sluke. So Ravina wanted to take Runya to the Torah and say, you have no right to buy that property. I have first rights to that property, b'shem dina de bar mitzvah, because I am the neighbor. Amle Rav Safra b'rei d'yeva l'ravina, Amri Inshi, people say, arba l'tzala, four for the leather, Abulatzala and four for the tanner. I saw no less than 12 pshatim in this line of the Gemara. I'm not going to quote 12 pshatim, but I'll quote a number of pshatim. Rashi's pshat, one pshat Rashi says, is that what he said to him was that Runya was a poor person, and he doesn't have what to eat because he needs to spend a lot of money. He was a shoemaker. And Abulatzala, he has to spend money for the leather. Abulatzala, he has to spend money for the tanners to process the leather. And he never doesn't have anything to eat. So we have to give him opportunity to buy this field to get an easier way to make panosa. The Rishonim are very bothered with that pshat. What does that have to do with Dinat Bametzra? So others explain, along the same line, Rashi says another pshat, along the same line, what is pshat in Dinat Bametzra? So when we learned Masechta Baba Metzia, we explained that the Torah uses the words Vasisa Hayoshev Atoif. A person is obligated to do what's right. A person is obligated to do what's good. And what's right and good is that if I'm a neighbor to a piece of property, I should have first rights to that piece of property. Says the Gemara, doing right, there's a lot of ways of doing nice things. One way of doing the nice thing is giving the neighbor right of first refusal. But another way of doing the right thing is giving a person who doesn't have panasa the opportunity to get a source of panasa. So what they were saying to Ravina was, Runya also needs panasa. And Basisa Yoshiva Toiv includes helping Runya. And therefore, let him keep the property even though he's not a Bar Mitzvah. Taisvis has a different pshat. Taisus has a pshat as follows. What happens if there's a piece of property for sale and one person is a neighbor from one side and the other person is a neighbor from the other three sides? So we would assume that the person who's a neighbor from three sides has first rights. Teaches us the Gemara that Runya was a neighbor only from one side. Ravina was a neighbor from three sides, so Ravina said, therefore I should have precedence. They told him, as long as he's a Bar Mitzvah, he is equal in rights to you. Along the same lines, similar pshatim I saw, that Runya didn't own any property here. But Runya was a worker in one of these properties, and what they were saying to him, being a worker in one of these properties creates a situation that that he also is a Bar Mitzvah, and therefore has a right to have a right to buy this house. And it comes up la'aloch l'maisa. I'll tell you where it comes up la'aloch l'maisa. Let's say there are three houses. One house, according to the Rishonim, when we spoke in Masechta Baba Metzia, we learned Rabbeinu Tam says that the Dinat Bar Mitzra only applies to fields. But many Rishonim disagree that it applies to houses. So let's say there are three houses. On one side, there's somebody who's renting a house. On the other side, there's somebody that owns a house. And the house in the middle is off for sale. According to this, we would perhaps think that only the person who owns a house has Bar Mitzvah. The other person's only a tenant. But now we're learning, as long as this person has connection here, even though this one's a tenant and this one's the owner, the Dinat Bar Mitzvah will not give the owner of the house more rights than the tenant. Another pshat along the same lines is that Runya had a right to use a path near this field. And using a path near the field gave him already the status of a Bar Mitzvah. The last pshat that I saw is a very, very sharp pshat. Ravina, as I said earlier, was a very wealthy man, owned a lot of property. Runya was a poor person. He was a shoemaker. And here, this property came up for sale, and Ravina said he has first rights because he's a Bar Mitzvah. So what they told Ravina is this. At the end of the day, we're all going to end up in the grave. The grave, how big is a grave? Dalet Amos. It's four Amos. So what they told him was like this. You're looking to amass more and more real estate. And you're claiming that you deserve the first rights here because you're Bar Mitzvah. Over Runya. So they told him, Arba Letzala, Arba Letzala. The same grave that's Dalet Amos big is used for the person that's a large person. That's a big, wealthy person. And Letzala, the same Dalet Amos grave is used. We all end up in the same size grave. So what are you trying to be so rich? Give him a chance also. We're all ending up in the grave anyway. Says the Mishnah, Kaisel Chatzah Shenafal. We've been speaking since the beginning of the Perek about a wall between two Chatzeris, and the wall collapsed. So Allah is Mechayim Moisel of Noisai. We obligate them to rebuild it, as we've been learning, Ad Abamas, up to the height of Dalar Amas. Furthermore, Becheska Shenosan, Ad Shavi Raish Leinosan. Let's say you're the neighbor that chooses to build the wall, and then you claim and say that I didn't give my share, since I'm obligated to pay up to Dalar Amas, unless you could prove that I didn't give it, the halacha is that the halacha assumes that I gave it. How could you prove that I didn't give it? So Rishonim say, the only way you could prove it is by having Edim who were with me the entire time from when I was obligated to pay and that I didn't pay. That's the only way you could prove it. Otherwise, you can never prove a negative. B'dal Amas L'mala. Let's say you chose to build a wall higher than Dalar Amas. Ein mechayv nesai. You can't force me to participate. Because as we've been learning, a wall that's Dalar Amas high already creates a situation that we prevented Chazak Ria, and you can't demand a higher wall. There are a number of machlokes Rishonim here, however. One shaila in the Rishonim is, can you choose to build a wall taller than Dalar Amas, without, or can I stop you? Some Rishonim say, if you want to make the higher wall and you're willing to pay for it, I can't stop you. Other Rishonim say, no, that since the halach is that a wall that's Dalar Amas is high enough to prevent Hezek Ria, that's all, I could stop you unless I could stop you. And in this opinion of the Rishonim, there's a further machlokes Rishonim. If this opinion teaches us that I could prevent you from building a wall taller than Dalar Amas, some Rishonim say, so therefore, you have to get my permission to make a taller wall. And without my express permission, you can't build such a wall. Other Rishonim say, as long as I don't protest, then it's good enough that you can make a higher wall. Since the halacha is that I'm not obligated to pay, so then the halacha is that we don't assume that I paid. And therefore, samach lo kaisel acher, now you built the taller wall, and I refuse to participate. Why did I refuse to participate? Because I said, for me, a Dalar Amas wall is good enough. And you went and made on your own expense a higher wall. But now I go and make another wall next to the first wall, and it's taller. Even if I didn't yet make the wall, then I have to participate in the higher wall. And, says the halacha, here we assume the cheska shloi nosen that I didn't pay, at shavi raish nosen until I could prove that I paid. So the Rishonim debate, the Nemukah Yosef and Tosfos, how to understand, the Nemukah Yosef and the Tosfos debate, how to explain this Gemara. The Nemukah Yosef says that once I make the higher wall, so I showed that I want the other side to be a higher wall, and therefore I'm more than a participant, the Nemukah Yosef says. I'm a partner in the higher wall, and therefore I have to pay my share in that higher wall. Tosfos says, I'm nana from the higher wall, because I made this wall, and since I made this wall higher with the intention of connecting these two walls, so I'm nana, so I have to pay because I benefited. Ask Tosfos, fine, I benefited. But we have a clout, we have a rule of zen nana v'zalei chaser. If I benefit and you have nothing to lose, I don't have to pay. So here, it's zen nana v'zalei chaser. You already made the higher wall. It's already done. And now I'm making the higher wall, so why isn't this then of Zalei Chaser? So Tosfos explains, since I've shown now that I want the higher wall, like that I could connect the two walls, from when you built the wall, I was Nana. When does then of Zalei Chaser apply? Only if I'm Nana after you finish doing everything. Here, by showing that I wanted the higher wall, it's not that I'm Nana later. It's considered like I was Nana from the first moment, and therefore the halacha is that I'm responsible. Continues the Gemara. Says the Gemara, I'm Rish Lakish. Hakavei is Malach Haveri. Let's say I owe you money, and there's a due date. V'amloi b'taratich b'taych z'mani, and now I come along and I say, you know what? I paid you before the due date. Ein enemen. Not to be believed, unless I could prove it, because halavai shihifu b'zmanoi. Halavai people pay their loans in the time that they have to. Bayev Rav Damri Tavayu, Ove Inish Depar Begazmani. There are people that pay this, their obligations early. Why? Because Zivna Demisram is Zuzi. Sometimes I owe money, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps, and I get my hand on some money, and I say, Amal Ezov Ifri, let me go pay up Kilech Delay Latardin in order that I should get this loan paid. And there's a number of points to be made in learning this Gemara. The Rishonim point out that we've learned many times that Stam Halva, a normal Halva, is Lamed Yoyim, 30 days. In other words, if there's no date put on the loan, then the date is, we assume that the loan is for 30 days. Say the Rishonim, the machloikis that we're having in our Gemara, if somebody comes along and says he paid his debt earlier, is only when there's a specific due date to the debt. But let's say there is no specific due date made. It's only because we're relying on the halacha of Stam Halva Shloish Miyayim. Everybody will agree that a person will pay that debt earlier. But there's a machlokes rishonim as to why. Some rishonim explain, because before 30 days, before, if there's a due date, so I don't owe you the money before the due date. It's like paying a bill before you received it. Nobody pays bills before they even got the bill. If the due date didn't come, the bill, there's no obligation. However, if the halva doesn't have a due date, it's only that I'm paying it because tam halva lama join. So it's not that I don't have it, that I don't owe you the money before the due date, because there's really no due date. That's how some rishonim learn. Other rishonim explain it differently. A person doesn't feel any pressure to pay before the obligation is due. But if there's no date, so I'm always walking around with a pressure. I owe you the money. And there's no date that I could attribute to. And the people like to get that pressure off their head. And that's all they pay as soon as they get the money. What's the nafkamina between these two pshatim? Says the Chasam Sofer. There's a machloikis between the Shach and the Marashdam. What would be the halacha if there was a loan with a due date? And now that the time to pay comes, I don't have the ability to pay you. So I come to you, and you extend the loan with a due date of 30 days. What will be the halacha? The Shach says that there everybody will agree that there the same halacha will apply. The Marashdam explains that no. There everybody will agree that I may pay before, that it's believable that I paid you before the due date. Explains the Chasam Sofer beautifully. He says as follows. If we say pshat is that before the due date, it's like a bill that I didn't get yet. So once you gave me an extension on the loan, until that time comes, I don't owe you the money. And Rish Lakish says, if I don't owe you the money, nobody's paying the money. On the other hand, what does the Marashdam hold? The Marashdam holds that why doesn't a person pay, or why does a person pay? Because he has pressure, or doesn't have pressure. Here, even though there's a due date, but I certainly feel pressure, I had to ask you for an extension. So even though here we're talking about a case that there is a specific due date, everybody will agree that I will pay you as soon as I can get the money, and therefore the halacha will be, according to everybody, if I claim I paid you before the new extended due date, I will be believed. The Paiskim say that when it comes to salary, let's say salary is due on Friday, and you claim you paid me the salary earlier, for sure you're not believed. There's no machlokes. Nobody pays salary early. Pikadon is another case that's discussed in the Paiskim. Let's say I'm holding an item of yours, and I agreed to hold it for a month, let's say. Here everybody agrees that by pikadon I'm believed. Because I'm just doing you a favor, I'm holding it. And if you're willing to take back earlier, certainly I believe that that might have happened. One more issue that Tosfos and the Rishonim discuss. What about pinyan ben money? Because the halacha, I think we've discussed this previously, is that al pidin, even though pinyan ben is on after the 30th day for when the child is born, let's say a father thinks or knows he's not going to be here on the 30th day, halachically, he could do a pinyan ben in the following manner. He should give the kohen the money before and say that the pinyan ben should not be effective, it should not be chal until after the 30th day. And that's what happened here. A father says to the kohen, I gave the pinyan ben money to you earlier. Will he be believed or not? The halacha is for sure he's not believed. And there's a difference of opinion why. Some say he's not believed because you can't compare a situation like a loan with a malva and a loiva. By Kayin, the father's not obligated to give the Pidyon HaBen money to any one specific Kayin. He can give it to any Kayin. And therefore, it's considered Mamon She'en Lo Toivim, and he's not believed that he gave it earlier, unless he could prove it. Another reason, the Mefarshim explained, is that even though technically, as I just described, you can do a Pidyon HaBen by giving the money to the Kayin earlier, but the mitzvah isn't here until the baby's 30 days old. So there's really no obligation before the baby's 30 days old, and therefore we don't assume that somebody did a mitzvah before any mitzvah exists. I would compare it to the concept that I spoke about a minute ago, that we don't assume that somebody pays a bill before he ever received it. Until 30 days, there is no mitzvah, and we don't assume that he paid his bill. Says the Gemara Tanan. We learned in our Mishnah, Becheska Shanosan, if the wall collapsed, we could assume that I participated in rebuilding the wall up to Dalet Amis at Shavi Raish Leinosan, until you could successfully prove that he didn't participate. Ask the Gemara, Hechi Domi, exactly what is the case that the Mishnah is referring to? That I told you I paid you after the wall was up? Pshita. Of course, Becheska Shanosan. I paid my obligation. Elaf. What must the case of the Mishnah be talking about? Domalei preticha b'stoichsmani. That I'm claiming that I paid you before the wall was up. And I'm believed, says the Mishnah. Which is a question of Reish Lakish. Because alma over inish the part of b'stoichsmani. A person is believed to say they paid something even before it was due. How will Reish Lakish explain our Mishnah? Answers the Gemara, you can't bring a rye from our Mishnah. Because shani hocha, the case of our Mishnah is one, the kol shofar shofar zmanihu. As you lay a brick, some say as you lay a row of bricks, I become obligated. So there's no concept that it's before or after. As soon as you put down a brick, I'm obligated, and therefore even Reish Lakish will agree that I'm believed to say I paid. So the Gemara tries to ask a question on a buyer, Rava's opinion, from the Sefer. It said in the Sefer, Becheska Shlei Nosan, if you build the wall taller, we assume that I didn't participate at Shavi Raish Nosan until I could successfully prove that I did. Is again the question. Hey, if I tell you that after you made it higher, I paid a mailoi, why should I not be believed? I'm claiming that I already paid even before you built that wall. From here we see the people don't pay early, unlike what Abai Verava said. Answers the Gemara, Shani Hocha, Dama Mi Yemen M'chayveli Rabbanim. The Rishonim explained the Gemara as follows. In a case where I clearly owe you the money, so the halachi is, according to Abai Verava, that a person sometimes will pay earlier if he has the ability to pay earlier. Here, this person, I am thinking to myself, maybe I'll never have to pay. Because I came to the shir, I know the halacha is that I only have to put up the only wall of Dalet Amis has to be erected. When do we say that a person may pay early when he's certainly eventually going to have to pay? So thereby, we rather say a concept, human psychology, that sometimes the people will pay early. But in a case where I may never have to pay, certainly I'm not going to pay early. And here, since I know that we really don't need a wall higher than Dalet Amis, I'm thinking I'm never going to have to pay. Says the Gemara, Rabbanan, Papa Rav Huna Bar Yeshua, Avdi Kabai Verava. They passing like Kabai Verava. Mabar Rav Ashi, Ovid Kirish Lakish. Vehilchasa, Taloch is Kirish Lakish. Says the Gemara, Vafilim Yasri, even from Yisoyimim. Which means as follows. Vav Gav Dom Rabbar, Haba Lifer Menichsi Yisoyimim, Layofer El Bishvua, Chazok Loi Ovid Inish Depar Begazmane. To explain what we just learned. We know, we've learned many times, the Gemara says, that if somebody dies and he owes money, or he was a Baal Chayv, it's the obligation of the Malva, and the Malva has a pretty difficult time, according to the Halacha, to have to be able to prove that he was never paid. Says the Gemara, when is that case? Somebody passed away, and when he passed away, the debt that the Malva is claiming was owed to him was already post due. So if the Malva wants to be able to prove, wants to be able to say that he didn't get paid, he has to have very strong proof. Here, however, the case is a different case. Somebody passed away. And when he passed away, it was prior to the debt being due. Says the Gemara, now that we're paskening like Rish Lakish, the Rish Lakish paskens, the Rish Lakish paskens, that people don't pay their debts early, even though the loiver died, and it's the Yisoyimim who we typically protect, here it's obvious that this loiver did not pay his debt before he died, and the Malva has a right to collect the money that's owed to him. However, points out Tosfos, that this psak that the Gemara is making is only by Yisoyimim who are gdoilim, only by Yisoyimim who are adults, not by Yisoyimim who are ktanim. And Tosfos explains why is there a distinction between gedolim and ketanim. Tosfos explains that by ketanim, there are two reasons why ketanim should be treated differently. Number one, the obligation to pay off a debt is a mitzvah. Prius bal choiv is a mitzvah. But if the yisayimim ketanim, they're not b'nei ovid mitzvah. They're not obligated to do mitzvahs. And since they're not obligated to do mitzvahs, we can't force them, even though we're sure, as I just explained, that the debt wasn't paid. Another reason Tosfos explained is that even though we're certain, as I've been explaining, that the debt wasn't paid, we still have to establish that there was a debt. How is that established? By the malva saying to the loiva, and now the yisayimim have the position of being the loiva, with edim, with a shtar, that you owe me money. But that requires standing in front of a bezdin and making that statement and making that point. But since the yisayimim are ketanim, they're not people that could be brought to bezdin where I can make a claim, you, the ketanim, owe me money. Because ketanim are not those that are brought and stand in front of bezdin. And therefore, says Tosfos, even though our Gemara is teaching us that the yisayimim would have to pay, that's only if they're gedolim. Not if they're ketanim. Says the Gemara. Iboilu, tovel achazman. I came to you and I claimed that it's after the debt was due. Vamaloi, and you came to me and say I owe you money and it's post the due date. And I tell you, proticha b'toichzmani. I paid you and I paid you before the due date. Mahu, will I be believed? Mi aminim b'makam chazaka aminim mali l'shakar. Oidilma b'makam chazaka loy aminim mali l'shakar. Mali l'shakar is the concept of amigui. The concept of amigui is that if I wanted, I could have made a better claim. So I could have told you, I paid you. And since it's post the due date, everybody, even Rish Lakish agrees, that post the due date, I'm neman. So I'm an honest person. I'm not saying I paid you after. I'm saying I paid you before. But since I said I'm paying you before, that's why I should be neman. Do we say this migui? Or don't we say the migui? What's the question? Isn't this a migui lahaitzi? But the Mefarshim explained that, in other words, why? What's the basis of the question? The question here is how strong do we look at this chazaka? This chazaka that Rish Lakish is working with, the chazaka that lo'ovid inish the par b'toich zmanei, that a person doesn't pay before time is due, is it looked at like an anan sadi, like edus? For sure, nobody pays before. An amigui b'mokim edim lo yaminin, or it's strong, it's a good concept, but it doesn't have the same level as edus that we should have a problem of amigui b'mokim edus, because the mefarshim, if we want to go a little deeper, try to understand how does the halacha look at this chazaka? Does the halacha look at this chazaka like all other chazakas? And perhaps they will say migu b'makam chazaka, or does the halacha give this chazaka a stronger position that the halacha should be that's considered like edis or considered like roiv, that the halacha is that the migui should not be effective? Toshma. So the Gemara wants to bring a raya from our Mishnah. The Mishnah said, b'cheske shenosan, if you built the wall collapsed and you built the wall, we assume that I paid my debt, until you could effectively prove that I did not. Ask the Gemara, if you ask me for the money after the wall was erected, and I tell you that I paid you before, shita, that I'm not neman, that I'm neman. Elav, damlai, what must have been the, that I paid you when the money was due, praticha bezmani, that I tell you I paid you after the wall was erected, shita, that I'm neman. Because everybody agrees that when somebody says that he paid a debt after it was due, that he's neman. Elav, isn't the case of the Mishnah, that I'm saying praticha b'tayich zmani, that I'm telling you that I paid you before the war was up. Alma, so from here we see, I feel b'makom chazaka, amin and mali l'shaker, that I'm believed to say that I paid you before the war was erected, because if I wanted, I could have told you I paid you after the war was erected. So we see that we do say the migui, even b'makom chazaka. So the Gemara, as we said before, shani hocha de kol shofar v'shofar zamnehu. Here, there's no b'toichzman or achazman, because every brick as it's laid, I'm obligated to pay. So Gemara tries again from our Mishnah. Toshma, b'dal amas l'mala, if the wall was built higher than dal amas, samach le kais lacher, so at the beginning I don't have to participate in more than dal amas. But, toshma, b'dal amas l'mala, we're not in the same place. Toshma, b'dal amas l'mala, ein mechayv v'nosoi. I don't have to pay. Because as far as I'm concerned, you don't have to build a wall more than dal amas. However, samach le kais lacher, if I build another wall at that height, and we'll discuss this much more in tomorrow's shiur, so it's obvious that I'm satisfied with the taller wall, then I have to pay for the, making the wall taller, and it's assumed that I didn't pay until I can prove that I did. If what's the case of the Mishnah? If it's referring that the wall was erected, and I say that I'm paying you after I built my new wall, and now the halacha obligates me to pay my share and my loy. Everybody agrees that if I owe the money, and I say I paid it, I'm believed. Ella, unless you could prove differently, that I've said that I paid you before I was obligated. That means before I erected my high wall, I said I paid. And I'm still not believed. Why? I'm a mokum chazaka, just because, even though, since there's a chazaka that people don't pay before they're obligated to pay, I mean, mali l'shaker. We don't say that it's a migui, that if I wanted, I could have said that the war was up earlier. It says, Gemara, shani hocha, as we learned earlier, I could successfully argue that I didn't pay. Here it's different because I may be thinking that I'm never going to have to pay. But it could well be that in a case where I would have to pay, where there's no question I have to pay, if now it's after the time that it's due, even if I claim I paid before it was due, I would be believed with the migui that I could have said I paid you afterwards. Tosfos goes into discussion that why don't we say that the case that we're referring to in the Mishnah is that it's not after my new wall was erected. What's the whole basis of the mnemonist that the Gemara wants to give me? Because it's after the time, and therefore, after the time, if I said I paid, I'm believed, so I have a migui. But maybe it's not after the time. Maybe I haven't put up or completed my new wall. So Taisha says the Gemara could have given that teretz, but giving that teretz would be a kash on a bai v'rovas pshat. So the Gemara wants to give a teretz that doesn't prove it, that isn't difficult according to Abaye v'Rava.